Ever wonder why some products explode overnight while others languish despite massive marketing budgets? Growth Hacker Marketing reveals the seismic shift that's revolutionizing how companies approach growth. Traditional marketing, with its Hollywood-inspired obsession with splashy launches and enormous budgets, is dying. In its place, a new breed of marketers is achieving remarkable results with minimal resources by combining technical innovation with data-driven precision. Companies like Dropbox, Airbnb, and Spotify didn't succeed through Super Bowl ads or billboards. They engineered growth directly into their products, creating self-perpetuating marketing machines that turn users into evangelists. This approach isn't just changing startups, it's transforming entire industries. Even Tim Ferriss, whose four-hour empire reached millions, credits these strategies for his success. In today's digital landscape, understanding growth hacking isn't optional. It's essential for survival. The worst marketing decision is promoting a product nobody wants. While traditional marketers often work with what they have, growth hackers insist on modifying products until they generate meaningful reactions from a defined audience. Ask yourself, would users be genuinely disappointed if your product disappeared tomorrow? If not, you haven't achieved product market fit, PMF, yet. Evernote exemplifies this philosophy by spending nothing on marketing in their early years, focusing exclusively on developing an application so good it sold itself. This initially slowed their growth, but proved brilliant long-term. Without PMF, traditional marketing becomes an expensive exercise in futility, like filling a leaky bucket. To achieve PMF, use surveys, behavior analysis, and question your assumptions constantly. The process isn't spontaneous, but results from methodically adapting your product to real market needs. Remember, the market doesn't care about your original vision. It only responds to solutions that actually solve its problems. Once you've established product market fit, it's time to activate your growth engine through targeted, efficient methods. You don't need expensive mass advertising. You need to attract specific, loyal users who will champion your product. Dropbox exemplifies this approach. Rather than spending millions on traditional advertising, they created a simple, homemade video targeted at tech enthusiasts on Dig and Hacker News. Their waitlist jumped from 5,000 to 75,000 users in a single day, and today they have over 100 million users worldwide. Uber took a similar approach, offering free services during SXW conference to target young tech professionals with disposable income. The key is identifying where your early adopters congregate, whether on TechCrunch, Reddit, or niche blogs, and reaching them directly with resonant messages. Growth hackers reject both the advertising home run mentality and the naive belief that if you build it, they will come. Instead, they place precise information in the right places for the right people, creating passionate users who drive organic growth. Virality isn't accidental. It's engineered. Products that spread virally must be worth sharing and make sharing effortless through well-designed mechanisms that incentivize and facilitate distribution. Jonah Berger emphasizes that viral content must be observable. Making things more observable makes them easier to imitate, which makes them more likely to become popular. This explains why startups leverage major platforms, where each Facebook user's 150 friends multiply potential reach exponentially. Strategic examples include Dropbox offering additional storage for linking social accounts, and Apple's Sent From My iPhone signature and white earbuds serving as mobile advertising. When Dropbox discovered traditional advertising cost $233 to $388 per new subscriber, their referral program offering 500 megabytes free space for invites increased registrations by 60%, with 35% coming through referrals at minimal cost. For viral growth, you need meaningful incentives, suitable sharing platforms, and continuous data analysis to optimize the process. When executed properly, this creates a self-perpetuating growth machine where each user brings in more users, reducing acquisition costs while accelerating expansion. The growth hacking process concludes where traditional marketing often stops: retention and optimization. What's the point of attracting new customers if they quickly disappear? In today's digital environment, we can measure and improve conversion ratios continuously. According to Bain & Company, just a 5% improvement in retention can yield a 30% increase in profits. Market Metrics shows the probability of selling to existing customers is 60 to 70% versus only 5 to 20% with new prospects. As Bronson Taylor puts it, retention trumps acquisition. The math is compelling. If acquiring a customer costs $50 for a $100 purchase, you've made $50 profit. But if that customer returns 5 more times without additional acquisition costs, you've made $500 in profit. This explains why retention-focused companies consistently outperform acquisition-focused ones. Growth hackers maximize ROI by focusing on the most effective tasks, leveraging the existing user base, and converting potential users into active customers. They recognize that keeping existing customers happy is far more profitable than constantly chasing new ones, a lesson many traditional marketers have yet to learn. When Ryan Holiday worked with Tim Ferriss to promote The 4-Hour Chef, they faced a major obstacle. Bookstores refused to sell it because Amazon published it. With under 60 days and no traditional channels, they approached the book as a startup using growth hacking principles. Tim designed each chapter as an independent element targeting specific communities. Their approach was data-driven. They used SurveyMonkey and WooFoo to ask followers what content was most valuable, even letting the community weigh in on the back cover and subtitle. This created a book shaped by readers, designed to generate reactions and be shared by participants. Instead of traditional advertising, they strategically partnered with bloggers reaching at least 100,000 monthly visitors, identified through tools like Compete and Quantcast. Their most successful move was partnering with BitTorrent to offer 700 megabytes of free book-based content to 170 million users. The results? 2 million downloads, 1.2 million pages visited, and roughly 250,000 book sales. This case proves that even traditionally non-viral products can achieve virality with the right strategies, and that growth hacking extends well beyond tech startups. Marketing is becoming increasingly data-driven, iterative, and integrated into products, with blurring lines between marketing, product development, and data science. Tomorrow's marketers will need cross-domain skills, including programming, statistical analysis, and UX design. Companies like Netflix leverage recommendation algorithms that function as both product features and marketing tools, saving billions annually. Social sharing, referral programs, and user-generated content are now fundamental to initial product design, not afterthoughts. This shift presents both challenges and opportunities. Companies clinging to traditional approaches will be outmaneuvered by competitors using data-driven growth strategies. However, those adopting growth hacking principles can achieve better results with smaller budgets by focusing on what works rather than what feels like good marketing. The key lesson is about embracing constant experimentation, measurement, and optimization. In today's fragmented attention economy, this approach isn't just advantageous, it's essential for survival. The question isn't whether you'll adopt these principles, but when, and whether you'll lead the transformation or struggle to catch up.